McGregor vs. Poirier 3 is all set for UFC 264. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. It's much like hockey. It's much like basketball. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. It's the McGregor vs. Poirier rubber match. Get in on all the action now. Download the DraftKings app and use promo code THPN for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. All throughout the week, that's promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Know on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. You can hop in the conversation anytime. It's Cody Jansen with you here on 12 Ounce Sports. World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Now open in Edmonton, Alberta on St. Albert Trail, Northwest. You guys already know by now, for over 50 years, Lord Co. Auto Parts, household name across Western Canada, proudly Canadian-owned and operated. Lord Co. carries much more than just car parts. Their newest store on St. Albert Trail, Northwest. Huge selection of aftermarket auto parts and accessories and a dedicated truck center. Now I'm going to go off script here because it is wildly hot outside and all the camping gear that they have at Lord Co. Auto Parts is incredible. If you're a fan of Kuma gear, all this camping stuff, top of the line, incredible selection. It's the absolute best. I'm telling you, if you're in the Edmonton area or in BC, go check out Lord Co. Auto Parts. You're not going to be disappointed. It's not one of those big box stores that's a wreck. You can't get help. You can't get anything. Lord Co. Auto Parts, go check them out today. Open 7 days a week or visit them online at lordco.com. Cody Jansen with you. What do we got lined up on the show today? Well, I'll tell you for free, a lot of NHL talk, and it's going to be rocking. We'll recap game one. We'll talk NHL awards. We'll talk with Tyler Cool from The Cool Show. Yeah, we'll get into some goalie controversy there. Vezina, did Fleury deserve it? Did he not? I don't know. How is Carey Price going to bounce back for game two? Yeah, we're going to dive into all of that on the show. And then game two, we'll preview it with Katie Caldwell. You guys already know she's the co-host of the show on vacation. So we're going to be taking time out of her and Carl's day to hop on here, talk some puck. Early here as well, you're going to hear from Victor Hedman. Little pregame and Nick Suzuki from his press conference. Got some audio quotes to hook up for you there. You guys already know how to connect with us on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. We're on Facebook, YouTube as well. Search World Hockey Report. That's where you can find us. Couple of questions of the day. Give us a prediction on game two. Habs, Bolts. We're going to see another 5-1 drubbing. I think it's going to be a lot closer. I'll dive into a little bit of that, but of course, hop in the comments. Let us know. Also, it's like plus 36 outside. We're sweating. It's just an absolute mess. The heat wave is here. Got tips for staying cool in summer? Let us know as well. Hop in the comments. Get at us anytime. We'll dive into some of your answers as well, but let's dive into some NHL news here. For our friends at Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, the absolute best. Yeah, they're giving away hockey sticks, hoodies, all of that. Proudly Canadian-owned and operated Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, the absolute best. Couple of news, new deals here. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, new deal for him. 8 years, $5.125 million. Like it, love it, hate it. It's okay. It's going to be front-loaded. The end of his time. You know, it's going to be a lot down. He's going to be in that $2, $3 million range. I like how they structured it. I know they need more from him. But again, he's a fan favorite. He wants to be in Edmonton. He wants to win here. You have to put value on that. For him to say, hey, I don't want to go to the free agent market. Interesting. One other thing that I can't say I don't like, but again, if you are fully on board with the Edmonton Oilers, you don't sign this deal until after the expansion draft. Now he's got to be protected. He's got a full no move clause on there. You got to protect him. Why couldn't he have waited until after the expansion draft? No one's explained that to me yet. That's one question I want to know, because I feel that's a selfish move right there. If you say, I want to be in Edmonton, I want to do what it takes to help the Oilers win, you say, hey, let's take this thing to free agency and then we'll sign a deal. Here's a handshake. I don't know. Give me your thoughts. Let me know. It's Cody Jansen here on World Hockey Report. Also, Wayne Simmonds, the Wayne train, staying in Toronto for two more years, $900K there. That's the depth forwards you need to win. It's your Corey Perry's on minimum deals, your Wayne Simmonds. These guys are winners, and they're going to get it done. For Toronto, I get it. They've had some disappointment, but these are depth guys you want in your lineup. They're impact players. So Wayne Simmonds staying in Toronto, it's a great deal. That's a great addition to them. Nothing more you can ask for. So I got a quick recap here on game one. I'll give some of my thoughts, because for Tampa, they did everything right that we said they had to. They had to play with speed. They had to force turnovers, and they had to get on the power play. That's exactly what they did. On the power play, they made the Habs pay. They forced turnovers. I think three of the goals were a direct cause of a turnover. You can't discredit the efforts of Braden Point out there. He was phenomenal. Kucherov had 3 points. And again, home ice, that last change, they really took advantage of it. They had their top lineup against Nick Suzuki, and we are going to dive into that little audio here for you. Nick Suzuki at his, you know, media conference, press conference, whatever you want to say after game one. I think it was actually yesterday, but he was asked about, you know, playing against one of the best lines in hockey and how he handles the challenge. So we'll dive into that before we get into a little bit more. Here's Nick Suzuki.
Nick, how do you personally process losses and in games where obviously, you know, you're up against the line and they get the better end of you? How do you personally process that and find your own kind of look in the mirror moment to redeem yourself the next game out?
Yeah, you know, as a line, we weren't happy with the result we got, but I thought as a unit, we created some good offensive chances, some unlucky bounces that didn't go our way. So we'll respond well. We got great leaders to lean on, and they're leading the way for us.
Next up, Chantel McAvee.
Thank you. Nick, what's the most difficult part playing against the Kucherov line?
You know, they move the puck well. They've been playing together for a while, so they make little plays to each other and tight. All of them can make plays, shoot the puck well, have a lot of speed. I thought we handled them pretty well when we were getting hemmed in a little bit, and then had some shifts where we hemmed them in. So you just have to do a better job of cleaning up turnovers, limit their time and space, and try our best to keep them off the score sheet.
Next up, Steven Waino.
Hi, Nick. Further to that, what do you guys as a line need to do better in terms of maybe not defending, but managing the puck better and kind of making those decisions when Tampa can line match like that and get the point line out there? What do you guys as a line have to do to kind of be more careful in your game while also getting offensive chances?
Yeah, like you said, puck management is key. Had a few turnovers, me personally too. So just have to keep those down, be smart with the puck. I think once we get in the offensive zone, we can outwork them there, and then it's just going to be key. It looks like they want to play against us the whole time, so we have to do a better job.
Nick Suzuki right there for the Montreal Canadiens. Hear from him in his press conference. Really talked about how his line's going to have to take a little bit more responsibility if John Cooper wants to line up their top guns against him. They're a young line in hockey. He knows what to expect. It's nothing new for him, But again, you got to rise to the occasion. He says, hey, we got to be better. We can't be turning the puck over. We have to be more responsible. We can't always get the matchup we like on the road. You can't always get Philip Deneau out there against Kucherov and Point and those big guns. Just not how it works in playoff hockey. John Cooper's too smart. Tampa's too good. So sometimes the underdogs, you got to throw under your weight class. And that's what Montreal is trying to do from Nick Suzuki there. It was a little bit of a feel-out game for Montreal. I get it. It's a 5-1 loss. And in playoffs, it really doesn't matter if you lose 5-1, 1-0, 8-0. None of that matters. It's one game. That's what it comes down to. For Montreal, it was a feel-out game, and that's the vibe I got from it. I think game two, they're going to come back a lot stronger. You have to assume. You have to assume they're going to be prepared, they're going to make adjustments, and they're going to know what to expect now. Before I get to Victor Hedman's comments, can we talk about this $5,000 fine on Shea Weber? And I know Vegas Square's Aaron. I mean, shout out if you're watching. What's up, buddy? You probably are. I understand why people find it unnecessary, but there's also an aspect in the game where many things are unnecessary. And a lot of it comes down to, hey, if you can bang and bruise your opponents more than the next, you got a better chance to win. You got to hack and whack. You got to play through it. That's the thing. Gallagher's playing through, getting thrown down to the ice. Bloody nose. Corey Perry's 8 sticks in the face. You have to play through it. The refs are going to allow it. Sometimes you got to do it, part of the game. And going, oh, it's an intent to injure. Every shift you're out there going, hey, if I hurt Steven Stamkos or if I hurt Brendan Gallagher, our team's going to have an advantage. Are you going out there intentionally trying to run his head through the boards? No, but if you go and break a rib, if you go and give him a Charlie horse, if you go and, you know, make him go get stitches, that's a win for your team. I know it sounds bad. I know it sounds awful, but it's hockey. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, it's not rocket science here. If you're new to the game, I'm sorry, but that's what the guys are going out there to do. You need an advantage. That's how you win a Stanley Cup. If you're the healthier team, you've got a better chance to win a hockey game. Simple as that. And a $5,000 fine for a slash to the back of the legs where Kucherov goes down like he got shot? Give me a break. That's a $5,000 fine. That's as bad as what Tom Wilson did? I don't know. Come on. If you're a social media hero, I want to hear from you. Because what Kucherov has had to endure in these playoffs is absolutely nothing. It's peanuts. It's absolutely peanuts compared to what Brendan Gallagher just went through. Has his head smashed into the ice, eats cross checks. See, Carvalho's hopped in the chat. Hockey's brutal. Hey, if you don't like hockey, that's fine. I respect it. Everyone's allowed their own decision. But again, it's the fastest sport in the world. It's the most entertaining sport. The NBA, the NFL, nothing stacks up to it. Social media hero. We won't dive too much into it, though. Gallagher's face looked disgusting. I don't know. If you're mad that we shared the photo, I'm sorry. I think it's funny. I think end of the day, it's something he'll look back at and go, wow, that's a kind of a funny video. Get back into the audio here. It's Pro Rock Hockey Sticks NHL News. Victor Hedman, well, he was asked about the team's success and what's leading to it.
You know, me and Mac have been here, you know, quite a while. And, you know, you got Cherny and Sergey and then, you know, Roots and Savvy, obviously, this year. And, you know, we've been able to create some chemistry together. And, you know, guys that have fit right in, you know, big guys that can skate and move the puck. So fits right into to the way we want to play hockey. And, you know, it obviously helps with the forwards that we have. And obviously Vasek, you know, stopping the pucks. And, you know, for us, it's all about, you know, trying to get up in the play as much as we can, defend hard and, you know, do what we're good at. But yeah, it's been this year, I think, has been a lot about consistency, and we've been seeing the same partners for a long time. So, you know, we've been able to create some chemistry there, and it's been all good.
Victor Hedman of the Tampa Bay Lightning right there. It's Cody Jansen with you on 12 Ounce Sports World Hockey Report live, brought to you by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Hey, let's break some news. This is per Chris Johnson a minute ago. The Tampa Bay Lightning have been approved to host a completely full house at the Amalie Arena for Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. That's 18,600 fans. In Game Number 1, they only had 16,000. So it's going to be rocking. Say what you want about Tampa Bay Lightning fans. Hey, They're going to pack the house. It's going to be a sold out barn. We're going to see 18,000 fans at a Stanley Cup hockey game. For Montreal, they're trying to get 50% capacity. They're clawing and scratching at the Quebec government. Quebec, Quebec, whatever you want. They want 50% capacity. I don't think that's that crazy to ask for. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm crazy. But Alberta's opening up here tomorrow. Play the games in Edmonton. I don't care. I'm sorry, Habs fans. Sucks to be you. Play it where we can get full capacity. It's a joke that we're not at this point. I get it. You want to be safe. There's safe ways we can obtain this. Masks mandatory. Making sure that fans have their second dose. There's options here that can make it safe. Whether it's filling the upper bowl and lower bowl at separate times. Making sure fans aren't walking around in warmups. Limiting, you know, the concourse movement. I don't know. You got to figure out something here. But there is no way that we shouldn't have at least 50% capacity in Montreal. That's pathetic. That's disappointing. I'll bench them actually right now. The Quebec government, you're on the hot seat today for Quack Stats. Our friends there, the most advanced player tracking technology. Absolutely the best. Go check them out today on Instagram at @Quack_stats and the web app. It is out today. Quack Stats, bench the Quebec government. We need more fans in the building. It's just a simple matter of fact here. People are getting vaccinated. People are having their second shots. That's 2 weeks in between. Throw on a mask. Make your social distancing measures strict and follow through. There's absolutely no reason we shouldn't be seeing this. A lot more to get to on the show today. We got NHL awards. I'll break them down. I'll give my thoughts. And boy, these NHL All-Star teams, that has me fired up this season. Something has to change. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know who's exactly voting on these. But we've got issues. We've got issues with the first team and second team All-Stars. I'll dive into all of that. Tyler Cool from The Cool Show is coming up next. We got more NHL news. The NHL partnering with TikTokers? What is going on? Jonathan Taves, one of the best heartfelt videos you will see all season. It's Cody Jansen with you. 12-ounce Sports World Hockey Report presented by the Loco Auto Parts. Back after the break. Game two tonight. Are you ready? Wow, game one was a thriller. I know it was 5-1, but come on. That was one of my favorite games I've watched all season. Tonight, going to be no different. What's going on? Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts. One-stop shop for quality RV, car, truck, or marine parts and accessories. Our next guest, brought to you by Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. It's the drink of the Stanley Cup Finals. Hey, they hooked us up with some sweet stuff here. I don't know if you guys can see this. Oh, going the wrong way. Coco Vodka, awesome shirt. The hats are fresh. It's plus 36 outside. It's wild. And you got to go check yourself some Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. Keep yourself cool in this hot weather. It'll keep you hydrated. Quality ingredients, no fillers, none of that BS you get with other seltzers. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. You will not be disappointed. Our next guest, Tyler Cool from The Cool Show, joins us now here. Buddy, what is going on? How did you like game one? Give me your thoughts on that, because man, although it was a 5-1 game, I thought it was a great hockey game, and this series is far from over in my opinion.
Well, Cody, the biggest thing in that first couple periods was the bad bounces on behalf of the Habs. You know, Tampa, they were able to get and take advantage of eight turnovers by Montreal, and going into that third period, you thought, you know what, it's only a one-goal game. It's still fairly close. But then Tampa, you know, a lot of people have said this. I'm not the only one that's saying this, but Tampa out-habbed the Habs. That's really what they did for the first half of that period. They only gave up one shot on goal for the longest time. Montreal put a little bit of a flurry late. But, you know, the only thing I'm really disappointed about, Janner, and maybe it's just me being a goalie guy or a defensive guy, is the fact that Montreal's penalty kill streak finally got snapped at 32 in a row. It's a mind-boggling statistic to have, especially in the playoffs, but you figured going up against the Tampa Bay Lightning power play, Kucherov with a cracked rib or not, undisclosed, obviously. But regardless, they were going to be ready to go, and obviously they were.
The penalty kill streak is absolutely incredible, and you're really going to tip your hat to Montreal because they just get it done. It's farm boy style. It is the grittiest PK you will see in the entire National Hockey League, which I love. Were you shocked, though, to see Tampa crack Carey Price a little bit? Five goals against them isn't a common thing, especially in these playoffs. Were you disappointed? Were you surprised? I don't know. Give me your breakdown on Carey Price in game one.
Well, it's a mixture of both, right? There, I think there were only, what, between the two teams, 40-some-odd shots in the first two periods, and you, there wasn't as much offense. Like I said, Tampa started to open up late. One goes off Ben Chiarot. One's a nice deflection by, of all people, Eric Chernat, 250 pounds going down the slot. It's obviously terrifying as it is. But there, I don't say, you know, it's one game, right? Carey Price has been in the situation before. I mean, look at that first round series against Toronto. He had a couple of rough games. He was able to bounce back, you know, and it's, you know what? This is his first Stanley Cup final visit ever in his career. You know, yes, he's won Olympic golds, world juniors, world championships, what have you. This is a whole different animal. And I think that's what we got to look at here with the Canadians, that yes, they got, you know, beaten by four against Tampa, the defending cup champs. How many players are on that Montreal team that have done it before? Yes, you have Staal. Yes, you have Perry. But Weber wasn't there in 17 with Nashville. He had just been traded to Montreal. Like, this is a very inexperienced core at this level of play. So I expect Montreal to have a little bit better of a jump tonight. And you know what? They lost in game one to Vegas, and everyone was writing them off then and there. And you know what? Montreal kind of handled Vegas for the next five games.
You're a goalie guy. What's more impressive, an Olympic gold medal or a Stanley Cup ring?
You have to win 16 in order to get a Stanley Cup ring. You only have to win, what, maybe four if you get the right round robin, you know, the right qualifying round in the Olympics. It's big. It's huge to win an Olympic gold medal, be part of the quadruple gold club, as, you know, Carey Price wants to do. He's got three of them. He's got that World Cup in 2016 as well. But, you know, but then again, you know, Cody, we're getting to that part of, you know, where the game is now, that goaltenders don't have to win all 16 games. They can split. And, you know, Carey Price, though, he's going to have to be the guy to win 16. Kyle Bukauskas, you know, came on the show once and said they're going to go as far as Carey Price takes them, the Habs. And boy, he has been right.
That was an awesome interview, though, by the way. Shout out Tyler Cool, our guest for Coco Vodka Coco Rum, host of The Cool Show on 12 Ounce Sports. And here's my argument for why an Olympic gold is more valuable, in my opinion, especially when NHLers are there. The teams are that much better. If you look at lines 1 through 4, the level of difficulty of goaltending, and I know they got better defense in front of them, but everyone knows offense runs hockey. And so you're facing a lot more difficult opportunities for 60 minutes. I say the Olympic gold is more impressive.
I get you there, yeah.
I've been wrong once or twice.
That's on best tournaments. Maybe not 2022 Olympics. It may not be the best, but that's neither here nor there.
No, like, I'm not, you know, pumping Russia's tires for winning the 2018 Olympics against a German team with, what, you know, like two guys with NHL experience. No,
wasn't Marco Sturm still on that team somewhere or something like that? He was a part of it, right?
Player coach on that one. Hey, Reggie, before my prediction for game two, I want your thoughts on the Vezina. Marc-Andre Fleury wins it. He beats out Andre Vasilevsky and Philip Grubauer for the award. Well deserved. Give me your thoughts.
You know, Grubauer for me was there. I don't want to say an honorary guy. Like, he was not going to be the Vezina guy. He had a great year in Colorado, great team in front of him, obviously, President's Trophy winner, obviously similar to Vasilevsky back in 19. When you have a real good team during the regular season, the goaltender is probably going to get a good look for the Vezina. But I think I may have just talked it into out of existence there, Janner. I kept saying, Vasilevsky, this is the year he's going to get it again. He's going to get it. He deserves it this year, much more than last year, yada, yada, yada. I said it on Monday. I said it last Thursday. I pretty much said it just about every time the Vezina conversation came to existence. However, if you look at Fleury's numbers, he's third in just about everything. He's third in shutouts, third in save percentage, third in goals against average during the regular season, third in wins. This is a guy that has just about done everything there is in the game except win the Vezina. Now, I don't know if this is like a Mark Giordano sort of thing, where a guy that is a longtime veteran in the league and has done a lot in the league finally gets the individual accolade he deserves. But look at how Fleury had to play when Robin Lehner was out of the lineup. When he had his concussion issues, he needed to step up to Fleury so Vegas could still not just, you know, be a top team in the division in that West, but also simply make the playoffs. Because if Fleury falters, who knows where Vegas finishes up? They may not have been in the running for the President's Trophy there in the end. So I like the decision. I am surprised. I thought it was going to be Vasilevsky, hands down. But you know what? Fleury is certainly deserving of the award. In his long and storied career, he finally gets that individual recognition that he deserves.
Even though he played in the weakest division in the NHL this season?
Wow, isn't that the North Division, Cody? Is that what everyone says? The North Division is the weakest, even though Montreal is in it. But God forbid we're all wrong, right? No, you look at the bottom half and the California teams, they're still struggling. But listen, you and I both know, if you get a cold goaltender or a soft goalie and you only have one that is NHL caliber, Maxim Lagasse, that was 3 years ago, okay? That was a good run for him in the first year. But that would have really put the Vegas Golden Knights behind the eight ball, despite having that excellent team in front of them. Fleury had to play big minutes all the time.
Remember that first year they went through like five or six different goalies? That was just insane. Hey,
well,
I got one more.
Oscar Dansk, I think, is still, he's a UFA, but he's still on the roster, right?
They had that kid from Kamloops who was playing juniors who ended up going up there too. I totally forget his name right now, but
yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And it was just a wild year for him. Hey, speaking of NHL awards, I'm going to keep you here for a minute longer. When you look at things like the Vezina, when you look at awards like the Calder, when you look at awards, I mean, there's so many, like even the Norris, are these just, you know, basically all statistics now? Is it just who has the best statistics that they're choosing? Because you can't tell me in your right mind that any GM isn't taking Cale Makar or Victor Hedman over Adam Fox. But Fox had more points. He had flashier analytics. He had better numbers. That's just what the awards are coming down to, in my opinion. But I want to hear your thoughts.
It's crazy to think this, because as soon as I saw Adam Fox, I was like, because for some reason, I have ESPN Plus here in the States, and the Rangers seem like they're on at least once a week. And I get to watch Adam Fox. I get to listen to Sam Rosen and Joe Micheletti, which is a blessing. But I look at him like, yeah, he's good, but gosh, is he an elite defenseman? With the defense they have surrounding him there with the Rangers? Absolutely. But is he better than Cale Makar, Victor Hedman? I don't think so. It's really hard to say no. And yeah, you're right. Is statistical analysis looked upon? I mean, I don't think any of us are really knocking the fact that Kaprizov was the Calder Trophy winner this year. I think that was a shoe-in for me. Obviously, that is up for discussion. But yeah, you look at the numbers, because one of my buddies, longtime guest on our show, Thomas Biondo, said the Norris Trophy sometimes looks as if it's the guy with the most points. Because remember how Morgan Riley had that hot start, and everyone's like, last year, and everyone's like, Morgan Riley's going to win the Norris because he had, 10 goals in 9 games or something ridiculous like that. And I'm like, well, yeah, he can put up points, but can he play both ends? And Riley, you know, he is the number one defenseman for the Leafs, but that's what the problem is, to your point you're making there, Janner, is the fact that they see numbers, and it's easy to do. I mean, even though there is so much exposure for watching hockey, you can watch on NHL TV, and now with the deal down in the States, you're going to have endless streaming on ESPN and Turner Sports with HBO and TNT. So there's going to be no reason why you can't watch every single game. So maybe that'll change now, but you're right. Right now it's seeming like it's numbers, it's statistics, it's, I don't want to say lazy voting by the PWHA, but it's hard right now.
It is, and they're going, oh, well, it's based on who had the best season, and right away, so they're going points. That's the first thing you see when you vote. Okay,
now, Connor McDavid, I think, is the MVP, no question. Points or not, he was the best this year. I think no one's knocking that one there, Janner.
And I've got an issue with the disrespect for Leon Draisaitl by the PHWA, but I'll get into that a little bit later. Hey, I want to get your thoughts on game two, but first, ESPN, they announced their broadcast lineup too, so I'm throwing you on the spot. I didn't even tell you to prepare for this one. But who are you looking forward to seeing most? Was there one name that stuck out to you that you're like, damn, that's going to be good to see them?
Gary Thorne finally getting signed whenever they announce it would be nice, but obviously it's not the case right now. Listen, I'm really, you know what? I'm excited to see how Leah Hextall does full time. You know, we got a glimpse of her during the NCAA tournament this year, which was cool. Not as many games because unfortunately Michigan had to pull out, but you know, it was exciting to see her and see how she's going to do at the NHL level. Butch Agross, he's a great college hockey fan, and you know, it's exciting. You know, Kiki likes to pump the game for ESPN even in the darkest days. They have a great analyst crew. I'm a big fan of Greg Wyshynski, follow his stuff all the time. So it's going to be a good crew, and I'm excited to see what they do. And, you know, it means that ESPN just can't fire everyone after the season like they've done in the past. So with them covering it next year. So I'm excited to see what TNT is going to have here coming up soon as well. There's a lot of rumors on who's going to be there. Obviously, Kenny Albert's going to probably be the guy, or he is going to be the head guy for play-by-play, but who they're going to put around him, that'll be something to watch out for.
Well, TNT saved money on Mark Messier, so I have to assume that they're throwing a pretty big offer at Gary Thorne after seeing ESPN doesn't announce him first off. But Tyler, I got one last one for you, and you know what's coming. Game 2 prediction for tonight. What do you like and what are you seeing?
I think Montreal is going to come out with a better start. I think it's going to be deja vu as I knock on this wooden table right next to me here. It's going to be just like game 2 against Vegas. They're going to come out hard and they need to score first, Cody. They are 11-2 when they score first in these playoffs. It's ridiculous. But this is a trend with Montreal fans have seen all season. They like to get at teams hard, fast, and try to score first because you know what? They do better when they get that first goal. They're 1-4 in this postseason when they don't score first. Expect the Habs in the first period to come out guns ablaze and throw everything at Vasilevsky, throw every cross check and slash at Kucherov, do everything they can, because that's seeming like what they're going to try to do this entire series is beat down Tampa into a slumber and maybe win a couple hockey games while they're at it.
Tyler, you're the best. Thank you so much for hopping on the show here. Really appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Janner. Have a good one, man.
Right there. Tyler Cool from The Cool Show. If you haven't checked out his show, go do it Mondays and Thursdays. I'm going to be making a guest appearance on it tomorrow. So that's extra motivation to go check it out. He's the best. Great guest, too. I mean, just great interview skills. He brings on some awesome hockey analysts. Go check out his work, Tyler Cool, here on World Hockey Report. We brought up the NHL awards, and I'll quickly rip through some of them here. King Clancy goes to Pekka Rinne, Jack Adams, Rod Brendamore, Rod the Bod picking up the coaching award. That's pretty cool. What he did with Carolina, I'm still not sold on their roster, and I think a lot of it comes down to him. Was shocked a little bit that he stayed, but again, he's a loyal guy. The Selkie goes to Barkov, Calder goes to Kaprizov, Hart, McDavid, Norris, Fox, and Vezina goes to Fleury. I'm not saying that Fleury doesn't deserve the Vezina, because I do believe he had the best regular season in the NHL, and I'll say that wholeheartedly. I do think he did have the best regular season, but the awards still throw me off a little bit. When we're looking at Vezina, are we looking at who's the guy, or just, you know, who had the best numbers statistically this season? Interesting. I got one beef to pick, though, because the first team All-Star and the second team All-Star make no sense to me. If someone understands, let me know in the comments right now what the hell the PHWA is doing, because your first team All-Stars don't include your Vezina winner, and it includes Mitch Marner. Your second team has Fleury, and it's got Hedman and Matthews. You're going to tell me those aren't first team All-Stars in the NHL this year? I don't understand how, and I get it, different voters are voting on the Vezina, they're voting on the Norris. It boggles my brain. And then you got Leon Draisaitl off. Are you counting him as a center? Because if that's the case, I still think you're going to take him over Austin Matthews. And half the season he played on the wing, probably more than half the season he was on the wing. So what are we doing here? Why even have a first and second team All-Star if it's going to be an absolute joke? It's pathetic at this point. How do you leave off Leon Draisaitl? How is your Vezina winner not a first team All-Star? Who is picking this? And it just makes absolutely no sense at this point. That's my rant on it. I could go on for hours, but it's an absolute embarrassment to the game of hockey that we can't get on the same page. Do we need less awards? Is that what it's going to take so we have less confusion? Because right now it's a jumbled mess, and it means that these awards, these acknowledgments, mean less. Because of the inconsistencies, because of how off everything is being voted on right now. I'll dive into some more NHL news here for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. The absolute best. They're changing the hockey stick game. Canadian-owned family-owned Canadian company changing the hockey stick game. Top the line twig. I've used them for a while now. And guys, I'm telling you, there's no smoke getting blown here. They are the absolute best. ProRock.com is where you can go check them out. Couple more NHL news. TikTok star, I think he's also Canadian, Josh Richards, is going to join the NHL. And I know there was a lot of hate on social media for this, and I get it. You're going to hate on people who are more popular than you. That's just the jealousy factor of life. But again, This is one of the biggest social media stars, influencers in the world right now. I do believe, I don't even have TikTok on my phone, but everything I see about this kid is he's massive. And so for the NHL to partner up, it's basically like a Justin Bieber, essentially. You know, you have them in your marketing corner. They're trying to get a younger audience. They're trying to get away from some of the old school stuff. So adding TikTokers like Josh Richards, I'm sure is going to bring them more audience, which is what they want, which is what they need. Because if they don't, if they get behind, they're going to end up losing it. Hey, if you haven't checked out the Jonathan Toews video, go check it out at World Hockey RPT. It's on our page right there. It really humanizes his issues that he went through this past season, and it breaks it down. It's a feel-good story video. You have to appreciate stuff like that where he's just one of the good guys in the game. So it's good to see that he's feeling a little bit better now and that it's going to, you know, be an uphill climb for him, but I think he will get back. Also, Buffalo, they announced Don Granato is going to be their coach there. Seems like a well-liked guy. I already said Tampa is getting a 100% capacity, 18,600 going to be in the building. Montreal, they're vouching for 50% capacity. I think they should get it. But again, I've been wrong once or twice. ESPN announces their new lineup. Huge additions, especially on the female side. Blake Bolden, you got Cassie Campbell-Pascal, and you've got Leah Hextall to absolutely bolster that lineup. Linda Cohn, AJ. There's just so many good names. And we're going to dive into a little bit of that next. We got a game one recap, game two as well. It's the co-host you guys all know and love, Katie Caldwell, coming up next. Cody Jansen with you. World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Game two tonight. Who do you like? Let us know in the comments at World Hockey Report, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, wherever you're watching from, at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. 5-1 Tampa takes game one. I think we see the tide turn a little bit tonight, and that's who we're going to break it down with our next guest. You know, we're already, it's Katie Caldwell joining us here on World Hockey Report for our friends at Billy's Smelling Salts. World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Learn more at lordco.com. Follow them on Lordco Parts on social media. Billy's Smelling Salts, time to ditch the coffee and the energy drinks. Get with Billy's. They'll hook you up. Use promo code WHR, 10% off. Katie Caldwell joins us here on the line for the show out in Vancouver, beautiful BC. It's only plus 45, I hear, there today. Katie, what's going on?
Hello, my friend. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's perfect.
Hey, beauty.
Wi-Fi's clutch.
Sick. Yeah, I picked the absolute best time to make a holiday to the coast with my dog. It's been like, oh, cool. We can only be in the ocean or in the hotel room because I just feel so bad for this little guy. But yeah, just what a heat wave, man.
The fact that you're not in the ocean 24/7 boggles my mind. I was at the lake yesterday and oh my goodness, it's only like, I mean, it's only like plus 37 here, but I see it's only like, it's like 42, 43 out in BC. That's just asinine. If you ask me, I can't handle that.
Oh, and then the humidity too, because where I live, I'm not used to that. So yeah, it's been a journey of mostly just like staying indoors.
Oh, that's always fun. Katie, I want to get your thoughts on game one. Tampa dominates. You know, were you surprised to see this? You did pick the Habs. I'll just remind everyone that I'm only one of the three who picked Tampa because, I mean, come on, I'm always right. But Katie, give me your thoughts on game one there.
Well, this isn't always a super popular opinion, but I've always felt that game one in a series is, I don't want to say a wash, but I've never really put a lot of stock into it. And especially this season, like this was such a feeling out game for Montreal, and these teams haven't played each other for what, a year and a half. And I'm not trying to make excuses. Montreal just wasn't ready for that game, but there were turnovers. There were bad bounces, but I really believe that Montreal is going to make their adjustments. That's kind of been their MO through the whole playoffs. Like, this is a team that's been so cool to see them find their identity, not necessarily just in the postseason, but they find new identities in a series and in a game, almost in a period. So I'm curious to see what they take out of the last game and take into this one. And you said it earlier, Cody, like guys like Nick Suzuki have to be more responsible. Cole Caulfield wasn't getting as much space as he's used to. And these are the moments where these guys like that just have to find a way to shine. And we've seen them do it. We've seen them see that spotlight and they step right into it. So John Cooper obviously is the best coach they've played so far. But I'm really, really curious to see what kind of adjustments they make heading into this game.
Just a direct shot at the head of Pete DeBoer right there from Keith. Carey Price, he allows five. I was talking about it with Tyler Cool earlier. Is this where we draw the line of Tampa's too good of a team for Carey Price to steal games against? Because any power play opportunity, Tampa dominates. The penalty kill was so good up to this point. Maybe they've hit their match right now.
Well, with Carey Price, if you look at the box score and didn't watch the game, I think it looks like a Carey Price meltdown. I didn't necessarily see that. I thought he played pretty well, and I loved how cool and he was after they were scoring on him. Like, I think he kept his composure so well, and that gives me a lot of faith in him moving forward, because he just gives so much confidence to the other guys of like, no, it's fine. Like, I still got this. I have a lot of faith in Carey Price. Like, they had so many guys in front of him. Like, I think they're just going to keep making adjustments to like see how they were able to score on Price and make those changes going into tonight. What are your thoughts? Did you think that he, like, it was one of his worst games? Like,
no, not at all. I mean, there was bad bounces. There was just fluke. There was bad turnover. Mm. I'm not blaming him at all. I'm just saying Tampa looks like a team where I would say they're the most difficult in the team or in the league to steal a game against. They're just that good. They're that dangerous. And if you give them two or three power plays, they're going to capitalize on a couple of them likely. So it's just a tough road for Carey Price here, where he's going to have to be better than he has in the playoffs. And to get to that next level, that's incredibly tough, because he's been phenomenal up until this point. I like the points you make about the coaching changes and adjustments, because that's one thing I've been really big on Richardson and Ducharme for, is they make adjustments on the fly during the series. And they're two of the best coaches at doing that, I would say, because John Cooper hasn't had to do it. Barry Trotz never had to do it. And Pete DeBoer couldn't do it. So for what Montreal is doing, I mean, they're bang for their buck right here. I like them in game two. I think they'll be able to come out flying again. You got to stay disciplined. Now, I'm sure you saw the pictures floating around of Brendan Gallagher and all that. Shea Weber slash the suspension or fine, I guess. Killorn's out tonight. Armia is going to be in. The physical play in this series, do you think we see it ramped up again tonight? Because it's going to be a war out there, in my opinion.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I love Armia going back in. I think that's a necessary change that they're making, just for his presence to be felt out there. But yeah, I'm super pumped about just the physicality and the intensity of this series, because we've seen it before. Like, for the first round, Montreal and Toronto had played each other again and again and again. But these players, the intensity is just starting to build from the beginning. So it's just going to get better, because they don't have that built-in hatred for each other. But in the playoffs, especially, the deeper you go into it, it seems to happen so quickly. And I'm just so pumped to see how they both come out flying, because you're right, Cody. Like, I think Montreal is going to come out so hard tonight, and they don't have a choice but to score first, in my opinion. I think they have to score first, and I think it has to kind of set the tone within the first 10 minutes, because we've seen them play with a lead, and it's just such a different game for them, it seems like. But yeah, I'm curious to see what changes they make for tonight, other than the lineup changes, because yeah, like, they haven't seen... Alex Pietrangelo, I think, was one of the better players for the Knights. He was noticeable even in games the Knights weren't as noticeable, but they haven't seen a Victor Hedman yet. Like, he's basically just like Pietrangelo 2.0. So, and so much of their offense stems from their defense, from someone like, and they're just so fast. Like, they're a team that you can't afford to make any mistakes against. So yeah, I'm looking forward to just seeing the adjustments. But then, like you said, like, the intensity just really ramping up, because I think it will.
And you bring up Hedman too, and he's going to have to go for surgery after this season too. So, I mean, you're playing against half of Victor Hedman, essentially. Yeah. Katie Caldwell, our guest here, co-host World Hockey Report, brought to you by Billy Smelling Salts. Hey, Tampa fans hate us on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen that, but again,
the whole Kucherov thing.
I want your take, though. Is he a diver? Because Adam said he dove three times in the game. I saw multiple times. I get it. Shea Weber slashed to the back of the legs. That's going to hurt. Like, I mean, you know what I'm going to fill in the blank with there. That's going to hurt. But again, you drop like that, that happens 20 times a game, in my opinion. I want your thoughts on Kucherov. Does he dive?
See, and this is a hard one, because as everybody in the world knows, I've never played professional hockey, and I don't know what that stuff feels like, because when I watch it as just a normal human being, I'm like, oh, that looks like it hurts like hell. Like, I would fall way more dramatically like that. But I'm also a very dramatic person. But like, but you're right. When you line it up against other hits like that, especially in the playoffs, it's easy to kind of go, oh, okay. Like, I don't know if maybe your player accidentally clipped you if you'd go down so hard. But I also understand, like, look at their power play. If you have an opportunity where you can try your best to draw some penalties, like, I don't know. I don't necessarily, like, I don't respect diving, obviously, but all of this is just part of the game where you kind of do what you can in the opportunities you can.
Confirm. I'll write the headlines. Katie Caldwell, Kucherov's a diver. I'll write that.
Big diver.
Hey, give me a score for game two tonight. What's your thoughts?
Oh, so if Montreal wins, I don't think they're ever going to have 5-1 wins. I don't think that's how they're going to win the games. But I could see, I'm going to say Montreal 3-2.
Love it, love it. Are we going to get a WHR OT challenge or no?
Sure.
Okay, overtime. There we go. That's called it. You heard it first there.
The confidence.
Before I let you go, I got to get your thoughts on the NHL awards. Now, I had it up with the PHWA just because I think that the voting, mostly for the first and second team All-Stars, was absolutely asinine how it ended up versus how the awards looked, and it makes no sense. But again, was there any awards that you were shocked to see? Maybe just someone you're happy for seeing get an award? What was your thoughts on that?
Kaprizov has been funny to see all the internet heroes with their jokes. Like, I'm dying at all the people saying he's not a real rookie. And like, the comment sections on him are so funny. But I think that's super well deserved. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Vezina, I was a little bit surprised from the beginning that Hellebuck didn't get a Vezina nod. Grubauer, for me, I didn't watch a lot of Grubauer, but I didn't necessarily love it as much just because I like the defense that he has in front of him. And obviously the Avs were such a good team. But yeah, Grubauer, like when I watched, he's such an electric goalie, obviously. I probably would have put in Hellebuck over him, but I'm happy to see Flower get it. He's such an elite goaltender and I'm such a big fan of him. But
well, Grubauer and Fleury played in the worst division in the NHL this year. You know, when it comes down to the, you know, the final four teams, Vegas was the worst of the four.
So, that's coming from you to have notoriously saying the North is the worst division of all time.
I do not have, I don't think you've got any evidence of me ever saying that. So they're in the worst division. Fleury and Grubauer had it easy. They're playing against all the slackers out of the California teams. Minnesota had one good player this year. I don't know. Lewis was overrated. They traded away all their good players. I think Fleury and Grubauer had a cakewalk. I think Vasilevsky had the toughest season, and he probably should have got the nod for Vezina.
Vasilevsky is one that I would have been super okay with if he won, obviously. But I find that I also have to talk myself out of how they play in the postseason because it's not about that. But that always does kind of creep in that he's just so electric in the playoffs. But surprises, I'm kind of looking at someone, like oftentimes I find wishing that there was a fourth spot because I find it's easy to go like, oh, how was this person not getting a nod? But then it's hard to remove one of the three people nominated. But I'm looking at someone like Jacob Chychrun in Arizona. Like that's someone I feel like wasn't talked about very much, but it took him a while to develop. And granted, Arizona hasn't always had a great supporting cast to help lift him. But I was talking to Kat Silverman about him, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago. And I believe he led the league in goals by a defender. And he had pretty good underlying numbers. Like analytics or something, I admittedly am still very new to, but I'm trying to learn them. And yeah, he's someone that I was a little bit surprised. But then, like I said, it's hard to look at the people who got nominated and then remove anyone.
And you bring up analytics, and I know that there's value to it, and I know that there's a huge, huge weight put on it. But for Adam Fox to, you know, get the Norris, I don't agree with that. Because, yeah, he had the most points or whatever. Yeah, he was the flashiest defender. But is this just the best offensive D-man? Is that where we're at right now? Because if you're going to tell me that the best defender in the NHL this season was Adam Fox, I'm going to call BS, because anyone in their right mind, any NHL GM or coach, is going to take Victor Hedman or Cale Makar over him. So if we're just going, oh, it's the best offensive D-man, and don't look at the other factors in the game, that's where I have an issue.
It's, yeah, but I feel like we're just so used to that now that it's just kind of been that way. I don't necessarily agree with it. I'm with you. But I'm just so used to it where, oh, okay, I guess that's just the way it is. Because you're right. I'm a big fan of Adam Fox. I don't think he wasn't deserving of it. But when you make the point of putting him up against someone like Cale Makar, I would struggle to choose Adam Fox without question over someone like Cale.
Hard to disagree with that one at all. Katie, I got to let you go. We appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the rest of your trip. Tell Carl I say hi.
Oh, thanks for having me. I have such FOMO not being able to be a part of the whole show, but it's been great. Oh. And yeah.
Stay cool as well and enjoy the ocean.
You betcha. Thanks for having me on.
Katie Caldwell right there, co-host of World Hockey Report. You hear her on here pretty much every week. But right now, she's enjoying the great province of British Columbia and the best ocean in the world. We got to wrap this one up here. Bet of the night for mybookie.ag. I already told you guys, I'm leaning towards Montreal in this one. And if you can get the +1.5 at -110, I'm liking that bet right there. I think that Montreal is going to have pushback. I do like them to win, so maybe sprinkle a little bit on the money line for them to win outright. I don't hate that bet, but the +1.5, that's the safe play in case they lose in overtime, in case they lose a heartbreaker late. I don't mind that one. I got a couple of more game two thoughts. We'll get you teed up for the series here. Puck drop 6 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Killorn, he's out for Tampa. Armia likely in for Jake Evans in game two. Carey Price, he's your factor in this one. You can't allow 5. I don't care how it is. I don't care if it's bad bounces, tips, bad turnovers. You can't allow 5 in the Stanley Cup final and expect to win a hockey game. For Montreal, they got to keep playing tough. If that means a couple more $5,000 fines, they'll take that. If that means they're lifting the cup at the end of the series, you got to do what you got to do at this time of year. And for Tampa Bay, they got to keep using their speed. If they're forcing turnovers, if they're buzzing around the net and they can use their speed, they're going to win. They're going to go up 2-0, heading to Montreal, where we might not even see 50% fan capacity. I don't want to rant about that. That's going to do it here for the show. Appreciate everyone tuning in. Download the podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network. They're producing it. World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. The best shop. Camping gear, RVs, whatever you need. Get your car tuned up. Lord Co. Auto Parts. They are going to hook you up. For Cody Jansen, co-host Adam Ermatrout, Katie Caldwell, Jeff Beck down at the 12-ounce sports studios, James Sutherland, our regular producer. Everyone, enjoy game two. And hey, as always, be kind, be better.